Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona. We are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. If this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you are considering a career in the entertainment industry. And our guests will provide advice on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, actors, singers, comedians, casting directors, talent managers, screenwriters, and the list goes on and on and on and on. And if they're working professionally in show business, we are going to have them on this show to give you entertainment career advice. And we make sure that our guests are at various stages of their careers, from professional to beginner. So that means that we will definitely have someone on the show who will be able to help you with your show business career questions. You can either listen or download any of our past shows by going to our archive page, and that's on latalkradio.com website. And you just go to channel one, there's a link, and it drops down, and you just click Question Reality, and this takes you directly to our archive page. And our shows are also available to listen to on iTunes under the podcast section and also on Stitcher.com. So just type Question Reality in the search box. Now, if you want to find out about future guests, as you know, we've been on the radio for 8 years, and we are always booked 6 months to a year in advance. So right now we are booking for the winter season. So go to our official website, which is a totally separate website. It's questionrealityradioshow.com, questionrealityradioshow.com. And there is a page that you can submit if you are working professionally in the entertainment industry. Now, I also want to encourage you to download our new free app for Android and iPhone to be able to listen to all the other exciting shows on LA Talk Radio. And that is on the homepage down towards the bottom on the right-hand side. Okie dokie. Oh, first of all, I just want to say I got an email from one of our listeners, and we've had an ongoing conversation over the years. And this person actually turned me on to Downton Abbey and has been bugging me for years. Have you watched it yet? Have you watched it yet? And I kept saying no, and I felt so embarrassed. Finally, I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to just give it a shot. Oh my God, I have been obsessed with this show. I have watched all 5 seasons in a period of like 2 weeks. Oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. So I just want to let you know, Steve from Manhattan, yes, I watched Downton Abbey and it is fabulous. I'm very sad because I'm up to season 6 and it's going to be over. So, okay. So today we have a fantastic guest on the show as always. First of all, I got to say, if you saw on social media she was going to be on the radio show today, you know she is hot and sexy. She's sizzling. Gorgeous. She's gorgeous. Her name is Nora Francesca. Well, I didn't even get her last name out yet. That would be Albert coming in premature. Women, you know how that is. Nora. Oh, Jesus. Now I'm calling her Norma, like Norma Desmond. Nora Francesca Germain. I hope it's Germain, or it could be Germain. Is it Germain or Germain?
It's Germain.
I was right. Okay. Nora Francesca Germain. That sounds like a wonderful Italian dish. I love it. Or a place that you want to go to on a honeymoon, the Nora Francesca Germain Castle. She is a jazz violinist, a recording artist, and an author. You can go to her website right now. It's noragermain.com. She's also on Twitter at Nora_Germain, and also on Facebook, Nora Germain Music. Now, We are going to talk to her today. She has a new inspirational book and fourth album coming out called Go For It. And we're also going to hear one of her songs around 5:30. It's called Swing as Fun. Now, it's not from the current album. It's from a previous album, which we're going to find out about it. But just to let you know, don't you go anywhere. Also, we're going to try to encourage her. She brought her little, what is that famous violin?
Stradivarius.
Is it a Stradivarius? I don't think so. What, they started a million? But it looks like one to me. You could sell me one and say it's a Stradivarius. But she has brought that in the studio today. So hopefully we can encourage her to do a little song. Now, let me tell you about her. She is a 24-year-old American jazz violinist. And she has been playing the violin for over 20 years. So I guess she started when she was 4. Oh, my goodness. And she has been performing professionally for the last decade. She studied at Idlewild Arts Academy and the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music and the University of Southern California's Thornton School of Music. And she currently lives in Los Angeles, and she performs regularly with her own groups, both in the United States and Europe. And Nora has performed with some of the world's greatest musical talents, including John Altman, Alison Burns, Jacob Collier, John Batiste, and Stay Human, Evan Christopher, Marshall Hawkins, Casey Abrams, Sam Smith, and one of Albert's favorite guitarists, Tommy Emmanuel. He goes to see him every year at Pepperdine. She also played with John Etheridge, Martin Taylor, and Zane Carney. Now, in addition to playing on frequent recording sessions for film and television and for musical artists in any genre, she has released 3 of her own albums and is quickly becoming one of today's most loved young talents in jazz. And she was named a rising star of jazz violin by Downbeat magazine last year. And she's already released her 4th album. I think this bio is a little outdated, but I think it's ready to drop, as they say in the biz, ready to drop. And it also includes her first inspirational book of the same title, Go For It. And she also performs as a solo violinist on a weekly basis at the Children's Hospital for Los Angeles and performed numerous charities in the United States and abroad. So welcome, Nora Francesca Germain. Now we got the applause meter right. Yay! Thank you so much for coming to see us today.
Thank you. You fit in a lot of information there.
I fit the whole brief bio. Oh, so we have nothing else to talk about. It's time to go now. Actually, what I am excited about, I was so glad that you could fit us in because you are actually performing tonight at 7 Grand LA, tonight at 10 o'clock with Andy McCauley, Miles Jensen, Mike Raganese, and Andrea Salazar, right?
Yes, they are fantastic. Fantastic, wonderful young musicians, and it's going to be very swinging.
I've never heard of 7 Grand. Where is that?
Well, it's on the corner of 7th and Grand. It's a bar, one of the best whiskey bars in L.A.
Possibly whiskey. I am there, honey. I can hit the wild turkey.
Yes. Well, then if you can, you should definitely come. And it's just across the street from Bottega Louie, if you've been downtown.
We live in downtown L.A.
Right. I'm sure you've walked by it a million times.
He must have. There are several new jazz places in downtown.
Sure,
LA.
Yeah.
A friend of ours, Kathy Siegel Garcia, very famous in the jazz world, she performs right at First and Hope. Mm-hmm. This new jazz club, which I can't remember it. I think it's called First and Hope, right? I don't know. It used to be. I think they changed the name.
I work at 5th and Grand.
Yeah.
Around the corner.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Right. So your neighbors, only you're in the day, she's in the night. Andy McCauley, Miles Jensen, Mike Raganese, and Andrea Salazar, what instruments do they play?
Okay. So we're going to have both electric and upright bass, and there'll be guitar, drums, and keyboard tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. Are these guys you regularly play with? Is this your band?
Well, actually, I change the members in my band. It really depends on what the venue is. Sometimes I think I want to do something a little bit, smaller. So I'll do a trio with, guitar or bass. And then when I want the full band, which is what we're doing tonight, then it's either a quartet or a quintet. So it really just depends on what I feel.
So you
like
have
doing.
Like a whole contact database and you...
I wouldn't call it a database. I would call it like a club.
A club. You have a club of guys. Oh
they're no, club don't, wait.
Just got...
They're not all guys. Oh. Always, there are lots of incredible, talented women, not only singers, but... tap dancers, horn players, drummers, all sorts of instrumentalists. So you gotta
That you actually hired to perform with you?
I'm telling you, you gotta you gotta give credit to the women who are in this business.
Well, we certainly do, being the women. Now, is this your first gig at Seventh?
No, actually, I've been playing there every month for, I think, going on 3 years. It'll be 3 years in the summer.
Oh, so it's a regular ongoing gig.
Yeah, I usually play there once a month. Sometimes it changes around, but yeah, I usually try to be there regularly. There are great people that, you know, come by and sit in, and there's a little community there. You know, there's blues bands, and there's different types of bands, and so we all kind of... get to know each other over the years.
Is it like the first Saturday of every month, first Friday, or does it alternate? How would we know when you're gonna be there?
Well, it's usually on a Sunday okay. night. Okay. And I just tell everybody, just take off work tomorrow because you all work too hard anyway.
Yeah.
But
it's at 10 o'clock tonight, 10 to 1.
Yeah. Yeah, and I always post on my website, so...
Okay, so if you go to noragermain.com, you can see there. 10 o'clock, and I understand that it's free. What's better than free?
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's free, and the drinks are really good, and it's a really great place to hang out and meet cool, creative people, and I love hanging out there. It's like I go there all the time, even when I'm not playing, you know?
Now, Nora Germain, yes. I love that name.
Thank you.
So I might say it continuously.
Okay.
I feel like a boat should be involved. Nora Germain.
Oh,
I get a yacht, Nora Francesca.
Oh my God. Okay, this is so perfect because...
You just bought a boat.
No, I would like to buy a boat.
A guy wants to marry you and is going to buy you a boat. No.
Hopefully that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. No, I really do want to get a boat someday. All of my friends that are listening to this are going to be like, oh my God, Nora's been talking about this damn
See,
boat.
I'm psychic. Being a Scorpio, I sensed the boat. I saw it all here. It's going to happen. Now, let's talk about your new inspirational book and fourth album. Now, why do you call it an inspirational book? What is it that's going to be inspirational? It's called Go For It.
Well, there's a little subtext beneath the book. So it's Go For It, but the subtext is surviving the challenges of becoming an artist. So basically, it's a book that I wrote about how I got started and basically how I got to where I am. And where I am, contrary to what some people think I'm trying to say, is not some finished product, some end game, some, you know, place in your career where you're like, okay, well, now I can just, you know, hang out and not really try very hard. I feel like... a lot of young people need inspiration. The, you know, record industry is basically collapsed, and there are a lot of tumultuous times that 20-somethings and 30-somethings go through trying to figure out, you know, what they want to do and how they're going to pull it off. So I thought it'd be nice to inspire them with something from my life. I'm up and coming, and I think it's good for up and coming people to have inspiration from their peers rather than just really famous already successful people.
Right.
You know?
Now, interesting that you said this about up-and-coming people, jazz. Now, I am not... Everybody knows. It's so weird that I love music, but jazz is not one of them. I'm more of an old, tacky 80s person, disco
80s. I love disco.
Okay, good. But jazz, oh my gosh, Albert, as you know, is a jazz, he's a software developer by day and a jazz musician at night, and he plays jazz guitar, and he often plays the jazz songs, and I have to put earplugs in. I don't know, it's just a cacophony of sounds, and it doesn't really, you know, work my ear, so you're going to have to tell me all of these things. However, I do like the old school jazz, like the 30s and 40s stuff. I love that. But the new fusion, oh my God, it gives me a migraine.
Well, do you like Sinatra?
Love Sinatra.
Then you love jazz.
What my mother says. This is true. Now, this book, so I think that you definitely need, from what I understand, again, I'm not a jazz aficionado, but from what I hear talking to jazz musicians, jazz has not, it used to be the shit. It used to be the scene. It used to be everything. Now I hear that it is so hard to even book a jazz gig. And when you are booked, you are lucky if you even get a beer. That's like a thing. You get a beer or a meal. That is it. They're not paying you. If you're lucky, you get paid. Why is this? Why has jazz, become something that's not respected and appreciated?
Well, I think there's a lot of arts that go through this kind of cultural sort of blackout, and it can happen once, you know, like it happened, for example, the music of Bach. After Bach died, well, first off, he died with no money in this unmarked grave. I mean, it's this crazy story, but anyway, his music wasn't appreciated for decades and decades until a long time later when it was premiered, and basically it went through like a revolution, and then people now, of course, now everybody's heard something by Bach. I think things kind of go in and out of fashion. But also, I think that, to be honest, a lot of jazz music these days is a little bit overcomplicated. Audience members can't really relate to it. You know, dancers can't really dance to it. I mean, I don't mean to criticize anybody. I think everybody should, you know, go down the creative path that they want to go down. But it really, you know, you've said the word jazz like probably 50 times now. Which is great, but you know, I think the key to really playing this music well is to bring in other genres and other kinds of musicians. So it's not just the same thing. You know, you can bring in music from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s, write your own stuff. You can mix it all in. So basically, I think it's about bringing old and new together. It's not just about, you know, staying in the past or trying to be in the future. It's just about bringing people together and having fun.
So do you consider yourself a jazz? I'm going to say it 51 times now. Do you consider yourself a jazz violinist, or are you just a violinist? Can you play everything?
Well, sure. I mean, I love to play music in any genre. And, you know, my original music is certainly based in the jazz type of thing. But, yeah, I mean, I think the spirit of jazz is to take music from every genre, every part of the world, every generation, and put it together in some sort of impromptu, improvised, fun way. And everybody's going to do it differently, you know.
Is your goal, if you have, I imagine you have goals, yes. Is your goal to be labeled I'm going to say 52 times.
That's great.
A jazz violinist, or do you want to just be known as a violinist? Like,
well, yeah,
because, but don't you have to?
Like, I see what you're saying.
Specialize in a category to become known as.
I see what you're
as.
Saying. I think these distinctions and labels and things, at the end of the day, they're just words that we use to sort of describe what's happening. But I don't really think, words really do any kind of art justice at all, anyway. But yes, of course I want to play jazz. I love the music of swing. I love to play the American Songbook. I think Gershwin's one of the greatest composers of all time.
But in this business, are you more, because the things I've read about you, it seems like people are putting you into a category of being the best jazz violinist, and they keep saying that. I've read like all these things on your website, and they're really saying you are a phenomenal and they keep putting that word there. So is that something you play more of?
I do. I mean, I do play a lot of jazz music, you know, but I don't...
You don't want to be just known as a jazz violinist, right?
I mean, some people look at that as sort of boxing you in, and I sort of see it as setting you free. Like, she's good at that.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, what else can I do?
But you know? Play classical, right?
Not in my shows, really. I mean, every once in a while, I play a little piece of Dvorak or something, like a little, sort of like a little palate cleanser. But yeah, you know, I write music and I sing and I try to give
You sing too? I did not know that.
Yeah.
That I did not know. My goodness. Wow.
Yes. Well, that's actually become a sort of thing that happened in the last year or so. I didn't really know I wanted to become a singer or singer per se. But, you know, you just mentioned Tommy Emmanuel, and he's a guy who is obviously an instrumentalist, great guitar player. But, you know, in his shows, he'll sing a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's a way for the audience to connect with him in a new way. And so does it make him smaller to say he's a singer? No, it makes him bigger. So does it make me smaller for people to say, oh, she's a jazz violinist? You know, I don't feel tied to that. I just feel like, great, this is lots of fun, you know. I feel very freed by it, so.
That's great. Now, what your book, and this is your fourth album. And when I say you have produced it? You've written everything yourself? Is it just you wrote it, you do well, the answer? I mean, what involvement?
It sort of connects to what we were talking about. I did produce it, and I flew to New Orleans to do it with some musicians there. And it's basically what we were talking about. So it's got a bunch of jazz music on it, done in my own way, my own arrangements that I think are representative of, you know, what I like and what I hope other people like.
Are these originals or standards?
No, they're standards, and there's some original music that I'm singing too. And so it's a mix of my favorite old stuff and some stuff by me. But whether it's original or not, I feel like is sort of an afterthought. To me, I mean, I don't really care if it's original or not. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you could, for example, somebody may have recorded some Mozart violin concerto a billion times. I mean, it's been recorded over and over again. And somebody might do it and it'll feel old, and somebody might do it and it'll feel new.
Yeah.
And similarly, people could play original songs. You know, you might hear the same guitar player playing the same song, and he could say it's original, but oh my God, it's so boring.
Yeah.
So to me, it's not really about if it's original. It's about if it's good. If it moves you, if it makes you feel happy, if it makes you feel something.
Right.
You know, it's more about the performance and the individual artist than whether or not it's original. But on my album, it's a mix of old and new.
So this album is called Go For It. Why is it called Go For It?
Well, I've done a few things on it that I've never done before. So that was sort of my sentiment.
Such as what?
Well, I on it, there's songs that I've written the lyrics to, I've arranged. I'm singing and playing violin on the same song.
Ah.
So I'm doing that. I've also played a little piano on the album, which is something I've never done before. It's just sort of, that was a sentiment. I mean, go for it. Why not do what you want to do? Do you know what I mean? If you feel a vibe, go for it.
I think you should.
So that's sort of
hashtag go for it. I understand from what I read that the support for this project has been extraordinary. Like,
yes,
over it has like been. 500 people from all over the world support your album.
Yep.
And so what have you read in these? I assume you get some sort of reviews that you can read. What was the most poignant thing that was said about this new book or album that you really said, wow, they got me. This is exactly the point I wanted to get across.
Well, the book and the album are not out yet. You can pre-order them now, but they're not actually released yet. But how I have received a lot of critique and review about my campaign, which is how I funded the whole thing. And people are saying they're really inspired by somebody doing more than one thing.
Mm.
And I think what they mean by that is saying, well, you're a musician, and, you know, that could mean you just make albums and go on tour, but you wrote a book. And it doesn't have to be a book, but, you know, musicians can make films if they want to.
Right.
And I feel like everybody should venture down the creative path that suits them in any given moment. Nobody should be afraid to try something new. And, you know, why not write a book if you feel like writing a book?
That's right. Now, they're also accompanying a lot of artists today are accompanying their songs or their album with a video, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I'll have some videos coming up.
Is there a video mm-hmm. for, is there one specific song that you've chosen?
I can't tell you yet.
You can't, okay.
But there will be some videos,
Some videos, okay. And I had never heard of this website before,
yes.
So I love that I'm introducing this new website. And this is where you can pre-order Nora's book and album. It's called pledgemusic.com. And I had never heard of this before. Is this a new website?
Well, I actually don't know how old it is. I know it hasn't been around as long as, you know, Kickstarter or Indiegogo.
Right.
Or one of these, but Pledge Music is different and it's better.
Yeah, usually that's for more film and television projects. Is this specifically music?
Yeah, Pledge Music is only for musicians, but you can do anything you want on it as a musician. You know, you could be a musician author, you could be a musician on tour, you could be a musician funding some sort of new project if you have like a technological invention. and you want to fund it on Pledge Music. So it's not just for CDs, but it is only for musicians.
Oh, great. PledgeMusic.com, everybody, musicians.
Yeah, it's really, really cool.
So if they wanted to, if they need to buy, say someone stole their instrument and they need to get a new one, would they say, hey, help me, guys. Can you help me get a new instrument so I can gig? Is it that, or is it just, I want to do an album. This is what it's about. Can you help me fund it?
I haven't personally seen anything on the website. I've looked through a lot of campaigns. I did a lot of research to do mine, and I haven't. I don't think I've seen anybody who's raising money to buy an instrument, but I'm sure you can.
Yeah,
they're always doing new things, and the people there are just extraordinary. Yeah. And there's a lot of one-on-one attention, and you know, when you start a campaign, you have somebody who's there with you who basically discusses if they think it's going to work or not. And you go back and forth and you make a solid plan and they're there for you. And basically, they only allow you to run campaigns that they think will be a huge success, and they help you make it that way.
So. That is very different from the Indiegogo and Kickstarter.
Yeah,
so
great.
Check that out, pledgemusic.com. And now you also want to talk about some of your upcoming shows. You have a show on this Thursday also. It's LA Dance Festival reception. What's that about?
Well, actually, it's not a show, but I'm actually really excited that you brought this up because I forgot I was doing that, but, you know, sometimes...
Research! I know everything about you!
No, this is great. Okay, so it goes a little bit back. I'm going to just tell a story, and it's going to lead up to that. Okay, so I went to this amazing boarding school called Idlewild Arts Academy, which is about 2 hours east of L.A. It's a wonderful boarding school for young people who need to get a diploma, like they go to regular high school. But at the same time, we pick an artistic major. So I majored in jazz violin, and you can go there and study dance or film or writing or whatever. And one of my dance teachers, her name was Deborah Brockes. She doesn't work there anymore, but she now has a dance company here in L.A., and she has a studio, and every year they put on this festival. And so last year she asked me to do it, and this year as well. This year it's a 3-day festival, April 14 to 17. And she's invited me and some friends to play some music on the opening night. So you can go, you can buy tickets and watch the performances.
What website is that that you would go and buy the tickets?
I'm not sure, but if you just Google LA Dance Festival, Los Angeles Dance Festival, it'll definitely be there. It's an amazing event, and they do it once a year, and it's a great opportunity for people to see dance companies from all over the place come and perform there. And
I wonder if Abby Lee Dance Company is going
to
be there.
Well, you'll have to look.
Dance Moms!
It's very affordable. You can go to some performances, all of them. But yeah, if you go on opening night, I'll be playing there, so you can come catch
and
me.
And what's your set? Like a 5-minute set? Or
no, we'll play for a while. I mean, we'll play a full set of music. But basically, it's after the opening night of performances are finished. The dancers and the audience members and Deborah, and they all get to mingle, sort of. And we're there playing some music. So it's sort of like a little meet and greet with the dancers.
Now, did you get to choose your band members?
Yes.
Or did they? Okay. Part of your club. Also, you are April 25th. You're at the Blue Whale in downtown L.A.
Yes. That's a
jazz.
Great...
That's 54.
Yeah, that's a great venue for live music. That is not free. I'm not sure how much it is, but I'm sure it's very affordable. But that show is going to be really interesting. It's a double bill. I'm playing with another band that night. So if you go buy a ticket, then you'll get to see two different bands. So it's kind of cool.
I heard that's a new hot place in downtown LA.
Yep.
Also, May 19th. At Little Easy. Oh, she's in downtown LA again. She might as well just move to downtown LA.
See all her shows. We're right there.
Come, yeah, yeah.
We're going to talk in the mic, honey. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll go see all of her shows.
Yes.
We're right there.
We're going to be groupies. May 19th at Little Easy in downtown LA.
Yeah, that's like a New Orleans themed place. That's a really cool place. They have live music pretty often and a great menu and bar. It's a great place to hang out.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
wow.
It's pretty new. So
Little Easy Bar. .com. I'm going to have to look that up.
Great
Is that
place.
A show that you pay to get in also?
I'm not.
Not a free show?
I think it's free. I'm not actually certain. It's a little bit off in the distance for me. I'm sorry. I don't have the details.
That's okay. Well, look it up. LittleEasyBar.com. Yeah. May 19th. She's going to be. Anything else going on exciting this year? Are you in? Tell me some more stuff.
Well,
non-musical stuff.
Non-musical
yes,
stuff.
Yes. Exciting
right.
stuff. You met a hot guy? Is there like some twinkling and sparkling ought to be on your finger? Is there?
No.
Did you win the lottery and you're hiding money? What exactly? What other stuff is going on?
So non-music. I'm going to really try here.
Do you do acting?
I act a little bit sometimes, yeah.
Any acting gigs coming up?
No.
No. Now, went back to this book real quick before we move on, because
yes,
we're
yes.
about to play the
sure.
song. This book, is this also available on Kindle?
It will be, yeah. It's not available just yet, but it will be. Yeah, it's going to be electronic across all these different platforms.
Is it hardcover as well? Are you going to do like a book tour at Barnes and Noble? Is that the place that didn't go under? Is it Barnes and Noble or the big bookstore?
I think
there
Barnes
were two,
and, Noble.
And then one of them.
Yeah,
went,
I think that was the
yeah,
one.
Are you doing
available.
Any signings?
Borders.
Yeah. That's right. Book signing?
Well, possibly. I mean, I might head over to Europe for a short while. I try to get over to London at least once a year. Last year I was there 5 times, so I was there a lot. But I try to get over there.
Why just London?
Well, last time I was in Europe, I went to Italy as well. Martin Taylor, a great guitar player, he had a guitar retreat, which is a sort of a place where musicians, guitarists from all over the world can sort of come and visit him, and we hang out with him and learn from him and do that whole thing in Italy. So I did that. I've done a few of those. And I also did one of those in Shetland, which is an island off of the north coast of Scotland. Tommy Manuel's there. That was really cool.
Yeah.
And where else have I been in Europe recently? I don't know. But I try. London, for some reason, just really resonates with me. I love the audiences.
Me too.
I love. There's so many tremendous musical artists there. You mentioned a few people that are really great. Jacob Collier is a great friend of mine. John Altman, who's a wonderful film scorer and saxophonist. He's over there. And there's a great music scene. I
live there. Ooh.
I really enjoy
loved
London.
It.
And it just
loved it.
You can get easy direct flights there. You know,
yeah.
it's easy to find places to stay. I don't know. It's not quite as big of an excursion as going like really far away. So it feels like a second home to me, really.
There you go, boys. Now, we are about to play. Now, this song, I want you to intro this song that we're going to play right now. It's called Swing is Fun. First of all, what's the song about?
Well, this song
this is from a previous album.
Yeah,
what was
this is
that
from
one
Little Dipper, which I released in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this song. It's a little tune. It's like, if for any of you musicians out there, it's a rhythm changes tune, which rhythm changes is like a 32-bar musical form. And I decided to write a song that's based on this form, rhythm changes, and just change a few of the chords and write my own melody.
Okay.
And Swing is Fun. It's basically just
Swing is Fun. Swing is Fun.
It's just a happy little tune that I really enjoyed playing, and it was very easy to write. It just sort of fell out of my head, and I love this.
So you wrote, it's an instrumental.
Yes, it's an instrumental, yes.
Okay, and who are the musicians on there?
Ooh, let me think back. It's Ed Kornhauser playing piano. Will Pierce playing bass, Ryan Shaw on drums, and myself. I don't think I'm missing anybody. It was just a quartet. Ryan was the youngest one on this session. I was 21 or 22 when we did this. Ryan was 19 or 20 or something. So
Wow. We're
all...
all youngies.
Yeah.
All millennials.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's a bunch of millennials playing this song called Swing is Fun. And when we come back, we are going to get advice, career advice, from her about how to make it as a violinist. Maybe a jazz, we'll throw a jazz violinist in there too. We're going to find out how you make it in the business and get to be where she is, Nora Germain. Okay, so without further ado, let's play Swing is Fun.
on.
Wow. That was swinging. Woo.
Do you like jazz now or no still?
I just
that
can't.
Was supposed to be fun.
Well, it was okay. Fun. Look. I did feel like I was breaking bad a little bit. Yes, I do. I love jazz. As far as the oldies.
Don't lie to me.
No, I like Frank Sinatra.
There you go.
Right. And yeah. I like, well, I don't know if you can, I think this is more blues, but I love Billie Holiday.
Oh, yeah, she's jazz. Yeah, I sing
Ella
songs.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I play songs
so
and sing songs.
So I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
And Albert says that's jazz.
That's definitely right there. That's like the whole
but
thing.
I guess I don't like the new stuff, uh-huh. Like that fusion
See,
acid
that's,
jazz.
But when you say you don't like jazz, that's like saying you don't like
I don't know
a,
how
you don't
to
like
pin
rock.
One. Oh, I know.
Right?
I don't know
Do
how
you
to
like
pin
rock?
No,
because there's rock that you like, there's rock.
Yeah, I don't know how to pinpoint that.
Well, I think, we're getting into a world in which genres really...
They're blending.
I really think it's got to be about the individual artist.
Yeah.
You know, if you can say, do you like this person's playing? And you say, well, yeah, or no. And
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's kind of hard.
I mean... Look, the jazz thing, it's a part of America's heritage. It's the greatest thing Americans ever did in arts is create jazz and send it around the world, and it came right back richer and better and more exciting and more
Why
diverse.
Why do you feel that jazz is not as popular as the rest of the genres? Now, I've heard that on radio station, that
88.1.
No, that's more jazz. The other one.
98.7.
Basically, I've heard that they can.
Okay.
I heard that they have to add more. What would you call that music that they've added?
Pop music?
They've made jazz more pop
right.
Because they couldn't hold an audience for just jazz.
Look.
Is that true?
Oh, I've got three points, really. And number one is that basically we're seeing... I've got this analogy, and it's in my book. It's this analogy that there's a circle of dominoes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the industry of jazz music as a whole, okay? And every domino basically has a different responsibility. One of the dominoes is the artist. Another domino is the jazz record labels. Another domino is jazz media. Another domino is jazz magazines. And now I'm not saying that only jazz magazines. I'm just saying people who work with artists in this genre, you know.
Right.
People who work with, like, you know, Tony Bennett or Trombone Shorty or John Batiste or, you know, me or whoever. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So you're seeing kind of that all these dominoes, besides the artists, have really, on a mainstream level, sort of pulled out. And venues are saying, well, we're not going to book you if, you know, people don't know about this music. And people don't know about the music because Amazon doesn't talk about it. And the Grammys don't show the jazz Grammys. And, you know, so you've got all these different dominoes. Basically, they've all fallen over. And the pressure is sort of on the last standing domino, which is the artist. And so the artists are really responsible for, this brings me to point number two, of why jazz is not popular, is to work really hard to make music that the general public, or just a jazz audience public still, would really enjoy.
Right.
And so you have to make it, you know, uplifting. They want to dance. They want to clap. They want to sing. They, you know, they want to enjoy it. They don't want to be thinking the whole time.
Yeah.
You know, they want to have fun. And so artists, you know, we need to work hard, just like, you know, everybody else in every other genre does. We got to look good. We got to really play well. We have to, you know, think about how we're interacting with the audience. And these things are very important. Number three, my third point, is I was watching this film a long time ago. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a documentary about the start of Pixar, the company Pixar. Mm. And there was a time, it looks like, there was a time when they thought animation would basically die. And all the artists, the people who actually draw these wonderful
animated
characters and everything, they would basically lose all their jobs and everything would turn to computer animation. And I can't remember exactly what was said, but basically they were saying, well, you know, people like a good animation, whether it's computerized or whether it's done with the hand. Like, everybody likes Frank Sinatra. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? And so I don't think it's really about genre so much as just being an artist that really cares about connecting with the audience. And you got to feel it out. You got to perform a lot. And you have to figure out what moves people, you know. What do they respond to? What do they enjoy? What do they want out of a performer? And you have to, you know, really give it to them, you know?
What kind of things should an aspiring, I don't know if I should say violinist, a musician. I'm going to say musician. What kind of things should an aspiring musician plan to be doing business-wise to prepare themselves for a career in music? Because a lot of times the artists, I'm going to just tell you, I mean, I've been in the entertainment business for a long time, and it seems to me, not all, again, I'm going to go general, but it seems like when I talk to musicians, they want to focus more on the craft, the art, and they don't want to deal with anything business-wise.
Well, look, some of us have the entrepreneurial bug, and some of us do not. I'm not going to say who's on what side, but it is tricky. I mean, it in as little as three, maybe four decades ago, it was the artist's job to make the music. Yeah. You know, this is what we are supposed to do. And there's a guy who's supposed to sell it, a guy who produces it, a guy who records it, a guy who licenses it, a guy who, you know. And, you know, you as an artist, your job is just to get on stage and just smash it. And that's what you're supposed to do. And now things have changed. Unfortunately. Right. I think maybe they'll get better. I don't believe that anything is really ever doomed. So I believe that it'll turn around. But
you have to really, I mean, if you want to be successful, you know, it's called show business.
Yeah, well,
it's
a
business. And you have to.
There are definitely things you got to do. I mean, you have to be meeting people. There are a few, I guess I'll just tell you a few things if you want, just a short, I don't know, just a, whatever pops in my head. You got to be out meeting people. That's number one. You know, meeting people, you should...
Whether you like it or not. So she's going to bring up points, and I'm going to tell you my version. Go ahead. So whether you want it or not, you can't sit in your room and pluck your strings. You got to get out there and network and market yourself. It's important.
Yeah, and you should do some research, figure out who... Basically, what I do is I think, who are all the people that do something similar to me? And study what they're doing. Go meet them. Play at their shows. Ask if you can be a special guest. Figure out what their audience is like. And do a little bit of research, you know. And another thing is get an email list together. You know, that's really important. You can let people know where you're going to be, what you're doing.
That's imperative, because you ever heard the phrase, you millennials, out of sight, out of mind? Hopefully you have. Well, that is very true. And you have to constantly stay in the visual plane of people in the music business.
Right.
And you've got to network and market yourself, even if it's just to show up and just introduce yourself. Hi, you know, I'm a, you know, I love your work. I'm an aspiring violinist, blah blah blah. You have to do it. Social media, but it's a very delicate balance, because it can get to the point where you're putting out so much that people get annoyed with you, and they're like, oh no, not another email from Nora, you know, or someone. That you can't do too many, but you got to do enough.
Well, I just try to think about if I was not me, what would I want from me? Like, you know, I think about that, like, okay, if Nora came across my mind, or if, you know, whoever comes across my mind, what would I want to know about them? Would I want to know if they have a show? Would I want to know what they're eating for dinner? Would I want to know who they're collaborating with? I just think about what I want from artists that I follow and try to, you know, give the public
Well, I know that I get regular weekly emails from you of what you're doing, which is very good.
I don't get any weekly emails?
You got to sign up,
You got to sign up. You got to go to her website. That's very good. One of the good things I love about your website, and that's another thing, you've got to have a professional website.
Oh, yeah,
one of the things
easy.
Nora
yeah.
does, when you go to her website, noragermain.com, the first thing she has is to sign up. It's a big, huge banner. You can't miss it. But, you know, a lot of musicians don't have that. They don't even think about that. And you get on the list, and then you got to put out a weekly or a monthly newsletter, which is what Nora does. And you got to make it interesting. You got to have words that pop. They're called buzzwords.
Yes. I have another point, if you don't mind.
Yes. I love point.
One other thing that has really helped me in my career, and I don't mean to preach because I'm just in the beginning. People are like, oh, Nora, you're 24.
No, and you preach it, girl.
I know,
preach
really,
it.
I really, honestly, I feel like I'm in the beginning, and I just want everybody who's listening to know that I really, that's the truth. I don't have a yacht, and it's not named after myself. But one thing that has really helped me is just to not be fearful to contact people that you respect, people that you look up to. Send them an email, call them on the phone, tweet them. You know, whoever you admire, whether they do the same thing as you or something completely different, you know. you can make great connections that way.
Right.
And you never know if how somebody's going to feel about you, what you're doing, if they want to help you out, introduce you to somebody, maybe bring you on the road with them.
That Nora makes such an excellent point, and I'm going to tell you why. What Nora just said, a friend of mine, I'm not going to mention her name, but her like hero idol was David Foster, mm-hmm. right? So she sure. decides she's just going to send them an email, mm-hmm. tweet them, follow them, do all the social media stuff. Sure enough, after about 50,000 emails, tweets, David Foster contacts her directly and says, you know what? I'm doing a project with Celine Dion. Would you be interested in being a right. demo singer? And she's now right. his official demo singer.
Well, look, that doesn't happen that often, but what does happen...
But she tried.
That, no, that's good. That's really good. But what usually happens more often is that you might find a time to maybe shake this person's hand backstage. Or you might find a time to, I don't know, get in a lesson. Or maybe you'll get to hang out in the studio. You know, you won't get to play, but maybe you get to be there and you meet some more people. And you basically build it up over time. So eventually, yeah, they'll call you as a sub. Or they'll say, oh, you know what? I got to do this gig. I can't do it. Can your band do it? Or whatever. Right. And this applies, this is not just for musicians. This applies to anybody. The main thing is just to not be afraid to really just get in touch with people who you look up to. Because they were young and, you know, stupid and had no idea what was going on at one point, too. And, you know, when I get older, if somebody young is like, yeah, I love your work, you know, whatever, can I come to your sound check? I'd be like, hell yeah, you can come to the sound check. I mean, I'd be so flattered.
Right.
You know, you go, sometimes we think that these big stars, you know, people who have a lot of Grammys or accolades, whatever, sometimes we think that, you know, they are living in this, you know, crazy world of, you know, abundance and perfection, and, you know, it's so glamorous. But, you know, they had to crawl out of the thing, too. You
yes.
know, they had to get there. And
the primordial ooze.
Yes, and if they're worth getting to know at all, then they're not going to forget about those days.
Absolutely.
You know? So you got to reach out to people who you admire and see if you can
yeah.
make it
What's
happen.
What's the worst can happen? Now, you know what? I want, you got that little violin here, and we almost have run out of time. I want you to play it. What can you do? Give us something live.
Great.
Now, would it be too much to ask for
no.
a Frank Sinatra tune?
No. Which one do you want? Come Fly With Me? Do you like that one?
No.
No.
Ugh. No. What about... What about I Got the World on a String?
Uh-huh.
Is that Frank Sinatra?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Or what's another famous Frank Sinatra song? When I'm not going to say when
Summer
I was 17.
Wind
Summer Wind.
I don't know that one.
Okay, when I was 17.
Uh-huh.
All right, maybe as Schnorr looks at me like, oh, shit. Something happy and
Let's
upbeat.
Let's do You Make Me Feel So Young.
Okay.
Do you guys know that one?
No.
What?
Do the first one, then. What's the first one you just said?
Come Fly With Me.
Okay, we'll do Come Fly With Me. We can do that.
Okay.
It's just that it's been done so much, but that's okay. We'll do that.
You never heard on a violin before, have you?
No. This is good.
Okay.
Yes. Never heard it on the violin. This is Nora Germain playing Come Fly With Me on her little violin.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. But I don't know if you know it. It's
what is it?
Meditation by Thais.
Ah, that the love song.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Violin and piano is
this one?
Can you try? Oh, God, if she can get it, I'll be. Oh, my God, that's it.
Is that
that's it! Oh my God, I love that! that with the piano. Oh, yes. I like Massenet's version, but oh, that was beautiful. Oh, ooh, yes. Okay, so we got to go. We're out of time, but please say goodbye to your fans or anything you want to get in.
Oh, I just love you guys. Thanks so much for listening. Go out and support your local artists. I'm telling you, you got to buy their music, even if you stream it on Spotify. You should buy it somewhere. Buy a ticket to their shows because that's the only thing in between amazing, incredible young talent all over the world having a healthy, wonderful career. So just go out and support your artists.
Support.
That is the best thing to do.
And support Nora. She's going to be here tonight at 7 Grand, 10 o'clock to 1 a.m. So come down to downtown L.A. and see her. We might stop by and we thank you. Thank you for coming on
thank
the show,
so
Miss
much.
Nora.
Thank you.
And thank you, Albert. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you next week on Question Reality. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.